Time to join Joan Lewis, EWTN's Bureau Chief here in Rome. She brings us the Vatican Week in review.
So, Joan, it seems that summer's come here in Rome.
Oh, well, thank the Lord. We had so many weeks of cold and cool temperatures and rain and huge winds.
Talking about winds, there was a whirlwind appointment on Saturday, wasn't there?
Oh my gosh, probably certainly one of the biggest things that Pope Francis has done so far. He named 8 cardinals from around the world to form an advisory group. So these are cardinals, and I learned from one of them that all of the papers and reports kind of highlighted the fact they would be involved in and help the Holy Father reform the Roman Curia. And that was like secondary. It's important, but according to this cardinal, he said, we're going to be an advisory body in the life and running of the church. So the idea had come up that the future pope create this kind of advisory body. But what is amazing and kind of wonderful about this group is the 8 cardinals were all cardinal electors. They had, except for one who's emeritus, but they had major archdioceses in the world. So we have Africa present, we have Asia, North America, South America, Europe. And interestingly enough, even though they're 25% of the Electoral College, only one Italian cardinal was named, which does seem kind of fair. Italy is only one country out of, you know, 100 and how many. So the cardinal for Italy is Bertello, Cardinal Bertello, who heads Vatican City State, kind of the governor, if you will. Universal Church is what these 8 cardinals represent. So their first meeting will be the first 3 days of October, but the communique said the Pope has already been in touch with all of them and is listening to them. So very, very interesting.
So, Joan, on Sunday, an important event because Pope Francis went to St. Paul's outside the walls.
He did. He was celebrating Mass. There's 4 papal basilicas. Certainly St. Peter's is the most famous of the 4 papal basilicas, but you have St. Mary Major, St. John Lateran, St. Paul's outside the walls. And earlier in the day, naturally, the Pope had celebrated the Regina Caeli. And I want to tell you, you know, it was a beautiful sunny day, which helped, but the numbers of people that pour into St. Peter's Square was something like 90,000 plus for the Regina Caeli. And there were huge crowds to get to St. Paul's outside the walls later that day. A very wonderful homily. And if you had to encapsulate the focus of the homily, Pope Francis said, our lives must have coherence between word and deed. And this is a man who says that. And if you look at his life as the Archbishop of Buenos Aires, you did see that. He didn't just talk about poverty, helping the poor, etc. He went out and did that and was there for the poor. So, and he focused his homily basically on 3 words. He said, proclamation, witness, and worship. And again, that all of this, there must be coherence between word and deed. So a very joyful occasion, as they all are. But this Pope is so filled with joy. That's what you see and feel in Francis. You watch him, and because of his joy, I think people listen more. So not too many big events in the rest of the week. A lot of interesting audiences. On Monday, the Pope met with the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, Fouad Twal, and an official delegation from the Patriarchate. And it was interesting because Patriarch Twal said of the Pope later, he's a very humble man, and he has the time and the patience to listen to what we have to say. So he also noted that the Pope was very well informed about the situation of Christians who have fled the Middle East. But on Monday, there was, in addition to audiences, there was actually an important communique from the CDF, which is the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. And that day, the CDF officials met with the presidency of the Leadership Conference of Women Religious of the U.S., and they've been meeting for quite some time. The Vatican has said, and the congregation has said, there's a huge need for reform. Not all of the religious are living up to church teaching on many issues. They seem to be talking more about social issues than the gospel, the magisterium. Anyway, they've been looked at for quite some time. It's one of those stories that our listeners will hear us talk about on occasion. So Tuesday was a variety of news, from the bombings in a papal telegram for the bombings at the Boston Marathon. And on the other hand, we had the news that Pope Benedict, of course, it was his birthday. He turned 86. Pope Francis, at his little daily mass at Santa Marta, did dedicate that mass to Benedict XVI and mentioned his birthday. And he said, let's offer a mass for him so the Lord will be with him, comfort him, and console him. And then later in the day, as is this pope's wont, he picked up the phone and he called Castel Gandolfo. And it's wonderful. He doesn't call an assistant in to say, I'd like to speak to, you know, Vatican Radio today or something. He uses the Vatican phone book. And then we have something to look forward to on April 23rd, folks. That is the Feast of St. George. And in Italy, a very big celebration is held on one's name day, or onomastico. So we have the current pope, whose baptism name is Jorge, George, celebrate on the 23rd. So
Wednesday,
obviously, the audience in St. Peter's Square, again, jammed. Now, the pope dedicated his catechesis to the Christ's ascension, his ascension into heaven, saying that Christ has not left us. He was no longer on earth physically. He is just with us in a very different way, guiding the life of the church until he returns in glory. And one thing that the audience was marked by at the end, the Holy Father did appeal for solidarity with those affected by the humongous earthquake that struck Iran and Pakistan on Tuesday afternoon. And so he said, I raise a prayer to God for the victims and those who are in pain, and express my closeness to the Iranian and the Pakistani people. And then you have also another disaster, that awful explosion at a fertilizer plant in the state of Texas. And for the first time in his pontificate, Pope Francis himself, he sent out a tweet he personally wrote in English. So it's his first one, because you'll read all of his tweets in English, or nine languages, but they'll be translated from the original. But this one he tweeted in English, please join me in praying for the victims of the explosion in Texas and their families. Thursday, we had a papal letter to the mothers of Plaza de Mayo. One of the leaders of that movement in the Pope's native Argentina had written him a letter, and he answered back through the good offices of Monsignor Antoine Camilleri, who's the Undersecretary for Relations with States. So, and that's another thing, the Pope does kind of like to sit down and pen things, you know, by himself, with not always asking, well, how should I say this? But he knows the situation. He knows what to say. Oh, and we should say one thing about Father Lombardi. Father Lombardi, head of Vatican Radio and head of the press office on Thursday, he was given the Communicator of the Year award by the Allianz Group, a financial group based in Switzerland. And the Communicator of the Year, done in the press office, in his office. So congratulations and kudos to Father Lombardi. And I have to say, one thing I heard was at the tail end of all of the interregnum events, and I think it might have been the very day of Pope Francis's the mass inaugurating his pontificate. And Father was giving another one of his amazing briefings to the world's press, you know, in the medias, the two media centers that there were for those events. And I came outside and met a former ambassador, and we were talking about his briefings. And I said, I want to tell you right now, I hope the man someday is canonized. I said, he was so fabulous for all of us. And she said she read an article in a paper where one journalist writing about the amazing time that Father dedicated to the journalist. This journalist article was entitled Santo Subito, which, of course, is what people said, obviously, make him a saint immediately when John Paul died. So those of us who work with him know what a talented man he is. And
I'm so patient.
Yes, exactly. Patient, knowledgeable. He was there for all of us when we needed him. So kudos, Father Lombardi.
Thank you very much, Joan. And you were listening there to Joan Lewis, EWTN's Bureau Chief here in Rome.